they just do it.
Yeah.
I know it's scary. I know it is. Yeah. It is scary, but just do it. And, you know, something that you said earlier about nurses, and I think women in general, is we're caregivers, we're nurturers. We worry about everybody else first. And I think all women do that. Yeah. And I just think it's time. It's time for women to step into their power and say, I'm going to take care of myself, and this is what I want, and I can make it happen.
Yeah.
And I think you can do it smart, so that, like, okay, can you save up 6 months? Like, I sucked it up for, there was this big political shift, and it was like, okay, I'm going to be out of here. Like, I didn't walk out the door the second I got pissed off. Right. Like, I'm quitting.
Right.
Come on, team, we're going. Uh-huh. I was like, okay. How do I get out of this? So I think one piece of advice too, to make it easier on yourself down the road, is like, plan it.
Welcome to the Nurse Boss Shift. It's your girl, Dr. Kiana Jones.
And I'm Crystal P, the beauty NP.
And today we have two lovely ladies that are coming to us today. I won't tell you guys what it's about yet, but they are coming, and this is definitely an area that we feel nurses really need help with, especially those who are still surviving after the vid. All right, so I will allow you ladies to introduce yourself. We'll start with Nancy first, and then we'll do Amy of who you are and a little bit about your business.
I'm Nancy Harrington, and I'm Amy Harrington's sister. We have been working together in one form or another for 20-something years, but we've had the Passionistas Project for about 6 years now. And what the Passionistas Project is it's an inclusive sisterhood where we invite women to come join us and share the bond that we have with each other. So it's about community, it's about networking, it's about support, all those things that you get from your real life sister that so many women in business are yearning for and really missing.
Yes.
So we have a sisterhood online that's got classes and workshops and networking and all sorts of great things so people can come together.
Mm-hmm. I'm Amy Harrington, it's the exact same thing that she said. We do everything together. We're business partners 100%. Mm-hmm. So that is exactly our mission.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that you guys are sisters and you're working together. You're not like twin sisters, right?
We are not, although I had to change my jacket before we came in because we had the same jacket.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We do it all the time. We walk out to meet each other and like, all right, I'll change.
So who came up with the idea of the Passionistas? Who was the first person to say, we should do this?
Well, we started working together in all sorts of different incarnations. And in around 2010, we started the Pop Culture Passionistas because we were very passionate about pop culture. Amy and I both had jobs in Hollywood. We left those jobs at the same time to sort of start working together. And so the Pop Culture Passionistas, we still have that company, and we interview celebrities and people behind the camera on TV shows and movies and things like that. We've done a ton of red carpet interviews. And I think we kind of lost count, but I think we're probably around 1700 interviews. But around 2016, we started thinking, we want to do something more impactful. Mm-hmm. You know, we love pop culture, but we really want to leave a mark on the world and help people. So we decided to use our skills as celebrity interviewers to shine a spotlight on women that weren't getting the spotlight and that we wanted to let them tell their own unfiltered stories. So that's when we started the Passionistas Project podcast.
So it's kind of like a collective decision.
Were
you guys feeling it? Like both of you were like, I was thinking that too, or it was kind of going that way. It was kind of inevitable.
It's one of the amazing things about Nancy and I, and we've been best friends our entire life.
That's so good.
Nancy asked my mother to have a baby when she went off to kindergarten, and then I came along. So she's, you know, been responsible for that decision and that suggestion all her life. But we, you know, we both had separate interests career-wise, but when we decided to work together, we took this crazy path doing all these different jobs, and we're really shy and introverted. And when we became interviewers, it was like, I can't believe one of us liked doing that, let alone both of us. So we really were lucky that our passions evolved in the same way. And then when the Passionistas Project idea came to us, it was like, we were both 100% on board, mm-hmm. no looking back. And every step along the way, like every, you know, even this morning, I made a silly suggestion to someone that most siblings would have been like, or business partners would have been like, yeah, I don't know about that one. And Nancy's like, great, let's do it. So we just, you know, we trust each other. We have similar opinions and missions. So it just
we,
is working.
We often say that we share a brain, which is kind of true.
Yeah, and really
so
helpful.
Really when one of us has an idea, the other one's usually on board.
Yeah. Now, did you find with Passionistas and women having community, did you find that a lot of women entrepreneurs were lonely in that sense?
Yes.
Is that what it comes
to? We hear so from so many women, I wish I had what you have. You know, they feel like they're out there. They don't know who to talk to. They don't know who to get advice from. They just want a sounding board. Mm-hmm. You know, they're so, especially women entrepreneurs like your audience, mm-hmm. like they feel alone. They feel mm-hmm. isolated. And especially that was all compounded with COVID when we were physically isolated.
Right.
So we really do feel like people are just yearning for community and for,
absolutely.
You know.
And we also really focus, we have an annual Women's Equality Summit.
Mm-hmm.
where we give women from marginalized communities a platform to tell their own stories.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one thing we hear from women in marginalized communities all the time is people talk about them and for them,
mm-hmm.
but don't let them speak for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've really taken that to heart, and we give our platform to women from different marginalized communities that just the platform. We step back, we let them tell
mm-hmm.
their stories. And so it's been really important to us to listen to women who have even more of an uphill battle
mm-hmm.
when they're out there doing it on their own. They're getting
mm-hmm.
even less funding
yeah.
than white women are.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting fewer opportunities. So it's really important to us that this sisterhood is really encompassing everybody and giving everybody a chance to
yeah.
thrive. Because so many women who are out there on their own, you know, from any background, are just having a hard time,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But it's doable, and we want to show people that if you have the support
mm-hmm.
and you build that support, you mm-hmm. can accomplish anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when I hear the word passionista, I think like you're going to teach us how to find our passion, pursue our passion, become our passion. Like, tell us a little bit more about what it is. Okay, it's a sisterhood, but what is the goal of it and the overall
right.
objective
yeah.
for
well,
the members?
When we first started, the goal was inspiration. The goal
okay.
was, here are these amazing women, listen to their story and be inspired
mm-hmm.
to do. And
mm-hmm.
if that was all it was, that would be enough.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. And so many people tell us when they're feeling down and they're feeling stuck, they go and listen to one of our episodes of our podcast
mm-hmm.
and they feel inspired
oh,
to get
awesome.
Back into
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But then we've expanded that. Like Amy said, we've expanded it to the summit so that people can hear other women's stories and come together. Like we found so many communities that are, you know, separate communities. We have the Asian American community and
mm-hmm.
we have the LGBTQ community. And what we want to do is bring these women together
mm-hmm.
so that we can share our common experiences mm-hmm. rather than being separated.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the goals too, is to bring all these communities into one place
mm-hmm.
so that we can all tell our stories. And there's obviously coming from it with different lenses,
mm-hmm.
but there's commonality there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to share and build on.
Yeah.
And then the community itself, now the online community that we just launched, is there's classes that they can take, there's workshops. We have what we call our power passionistas. These are our experts in the community. And we focus on three pillars. We focus on personal growth, social impact, and business development.
Mm-hmm.
So we have experts in all of those areas that teach classes, they give workshops.
Mm-hmm.
We have pre-recorded videos so you can learn at your own pace. We'll be offering courses that you can come once a week and take a course and interact with the expert.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have networking opportunities and just fun events. We just recently had a Galentine's event.
Mm-hmm.
We just all got together and played trivia and had fun. So
mm-hmm. yeah.
there's all sorts of ways that women can come together, support each other, learn, and have fun, because
mm-hmm.
you got to have fun in the process
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
How do you guys So one of the things we find that nurses struggle with is finding their passion.
Yeah.
Because their identity is wrapped into being a nurse. If you ask them who you are, the first thing they're going to tell you, or tell me about yourself, they're going to tell you that they're a nurse, for sure. So I want to know, do you guys have strategies or a part of being a part of the Passionistas, like, that can help women kind of get to their passion, like, or identify what it is?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting. We had these amazing careers, and then all of a sudden we just kind of jumped off the cliff, and we were like, we're going to go do something new, and we didn't know what that was. And we really realized, like, what did we do when we were little that made us happy? Mm-hmm. What have we done throughout our lives that makes us happy? Mm-hmm. And for us, it was pop culture. You know, that's where we started. It was like, oh, we love to watch TV together and see movies and listen to music. And so we really stumbled into that becoming a career. Mm-hmm. And it was just something we had fun doing. And I think a lot of times people leave the job they're in or the career they're in because mm-hmm. they're not having fun. Mm-hmm. They, you know, life is just hard and you're tired, especially, just to step back, I don't know how nurses do it. I think we just had this conversation the other day with somebody. Like, to us, nurses are the most important people on the planet. Nancy had health issues last year. We've had lots of health issues in the family. And we would not have made it through those experiences without nurses. Yeah. So we can only imagine how exhausting that job is and how fried and burned out you get being a nurse. So for us, it was about, like, what brings us joy? Yeah. And, you know, we also have a passionista who really is a business coach who really smartly says, you might not want to make that a career. Mm-hmm. You know, she's a baking expert. She loves to bake. But that she likes to just have that as something she just enjoys and not make it now this seriously thing that she has to worry about. So it may not be the thing that you decide to do for a living, but it may remind you of something else that you like, or it may lead you down a path to a new outlook on a career that might become the thing you want to do. So, you know, what brings you joy is kind of our first step.
Yeah. And then just highlighting, because you said, like you said, you were in this great career and then you just changed to do something else. So how did you have the audacity, as I always say, to do something else? And what did that look like? Just starting your own business together.
Well, I can speak for myself that I've always had that entrepreneurial spirit. I won't say how many decades that I've been working, but I've only had one actual job where I worked for somebody else. Well, that's not true. Couple, but as an adult, one job where I worked for somebody else. So I've always had my own business. And I think that comes from our dad had his own business. Okay. So that was what we were modeled. And it, to me, it wasn't scary. It was just what you did. Okay. But Amy, on the other hand, had a really big job at a movie studio. Amy was the vice president of post-production and visual effects at Warner Brothers.
Wow.
And she worked on Harry Potter, and Batman, and The Matrixes, and all sorts of amazing movies. So she grew up in this world where she had that corporate support system.
Yeah.
So it was harder for her to make the leap. But I think knowing that she had me, you know, we were able to, like, hold hands and take the jump and make the leap. And I've always said to her, in all of the years that I've worked for myself, the money always comes in when you need it.
Yes.
It always shows up.
Thanks for telling us that.
She's telling ourselves. She's like,
I know. It always shows up when you need it. Yeah. It
that
does.
Is so true.
And you just have to believe that. And I think she's heeded that words from me.
I have. I definitely have.
Yeah.
And I definitely having Nancy made it easier to make the move because I was unhappy in my job. Like, it became very political and very budget driven. And the creativity had gone out of it. It wasn't as creative as it used to be. And I probably would have stayed there, but knowing, like, my choice became, I'm spending like 60 or 70 hours a week literally working with people that for the most part I don't like. You know, I had like my handful of people that I really love being with. But for the most part, I would spend hours and hours every day with people that just drove me crazy, or I could spend the day with Nancy. You know, and it was like, well, that's a no-brainer. Like, I would much rather be with people that I trust, that I like, that I feel have my back, than do this for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's a serious step though. And I think a lot of women, I mean, and we can say nurses, we were just on our previous podcast, we were looking at the statistics and 87% of nurses are women. We know it's predominated by nurses, but that is another layer to it, right? That it's women and we're nurses and we're in a position of servitude. And so how do we, you know, leave our team hanging? How do we, you know, dare to step into something that we're passionate about? What does that process look like? Now, if you were already an entrepreneur, that's a whole different mindset, right?
Yeah.
But definitely for someone who's working in corporate, which most nurses are, how does that look? And not everyone has a Nancy,
right?
Tell them it's going to be okay, and you actually believe them.
You can if you join the Passionistas Project.
No, I totally get that, and I think it's different for every person. For me, I just was at the point where I had this amazing job that I had dreamed of. I dreamed of being in Hollywood and working in entertainment.
Yeah,
and I had always said, if I ever hit the point with this job where I don't enjoy it anymore, I'm going to leave because this is the kind of job that whoever does it should love it. Mm. It's like, you know, at the time there were only probably two or three studios that had the position that I was in. And I don't even know that there were that many. I was the first to hold this particular job in the history of Hollywood. So it was a very important thing to me that whoever did the job liked it. And I think that at the end of the day, it really did just come back to like looking ahead, you know, 40 years in my life. And there were people that worked there that longer than that. And I saw that they were like the cranky people. They were the people who seemed really...
I swear you're a nurse.
I know.
Same thing.
It's so funny, right?
Yeah.
So they were the people that I was like, is that the person? I knew that was the person I was going to grow into.
Yeah.
I could see it. Like I was already exhibiting the personality traits of like very, you know, just getting frustrated and short-tempered and annoyed by everything. And I was like, I'm going to be that person in 40 years. Mm-hmm. And is that really how I want to spend my life? And the scariest part to me was the money. Like it always had, because you're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You work for so long that you start to make a good living.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to leave that. And it's really, really, really scary to leave that. And there are still days, I will be 100% honest.
Oh, yeah.
There are still days where it's like, oh my God, okay, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but at the end of the day, I would much rather live every day feeling like I had control over my life.
Yeah.
Feeling like the choice I made was my own.
Yes.
And knowing that if I have to get a job at Home Depot tomorrow to like cover the bills for a while until I figure this out, I would rather do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to work at Home Depot, but if I have to, it's still better than becoming those people. Those bitter
Did you hear about the nurse that was on, she went to Target? She left bedside and started working at Target just because she was so miserable.
Wow.
And she was, same thing, she said, I'm figured out, but for now, I'm not going back to the hospital because it was just that draining for her.
Yeah.
And I can understand that. Like, when I think about it, I feel like being an entrepreneur keeps me, I'm alive every day because I have to be. Like, I have to totally have my wits about me, but when you are get caught in the monotony of just like existing, you sometimes you have to check your pulse, even in fast-paced environments like in healthcare,
right?
Like you still have to like, I can do this with my eyes closed, you know.
Oh, I agree. It no longer becomes a challenge because I think that you know, we get into nursing and we're these baby nurses, and then I'm sure same with any career, but we grow, we know our stuff, and then it's just like the monotony of it, like you said, plus working around other cranky people and then looking and saying, that's what I'm going to be like if I continue to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's so true in lots of different fields.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I always point to this moment. The moment I knew like, okay, no, I really have to get out of here was we were on the third Harry Potter film, and someone I had worked with on every other Harry Potter film was like, how are we going to make him fly? It was like, oh my God, we've been making him fly. I did not see Quidditch in the first movie. And I just thought, I'm going to have the same conversation with the same people. for the rest of my life. If I stay here, I'm going to explain the same thing over and over again. And I gotta go. It's time.
I want to ask you, what do you say for the person who just thinks, like, how am I just going to quit my job to follow a passion? You know, right. They just think, like, who cares about my passion? Like, the money.
Yeah.
What do you say to that person?
I say, just do it.
Yeah.
I know it's scary. I know it is.
Yeah.
It is scary, but just do it. And, you know, something that you said earlier about nurses, and I think women in general, is we're caregivers, we're nurturers, we worry about everybody else first. And I think all women do that.
Yeah.
And I just think it's time. It's time for women to step into their power and say, I'm going to take care of myself, and this is what I want, and I can make it happen.
Yeah. And I think you can do it smart, so that, like, okay, can you save up 6 months? Like, I sucked it up for, there was this big political shift and it was like, okay, I'm going to be out of here. But if I stay through like the next 3 or 4 months, then the women who worked for me, I could get them settled and know they had jobs, and I could make sure that, like, I was set up mortgage wise and all that stuff. So it was like, I didn't walk out the door the second I got pissed off.
Right.
Like, I'm quitting.
Right.
Come on, team, we're going. I was like, okay, here, how do I get out of this? So I think one piece of advice, too, to make it easier on yourself down the road is, like, plan it.
I like to speak about this. Just when you said it, Crystal, when people think, like, how can I quit my job to pursue my passion? That sounds crazy. It's like, how you would... I was the same way. I'm not, but I just think about how it sounds now to me. It's like, what would be the better, more opportune time to choose your path?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's your passion. It should be what's within you. Like, so it's like, how dare I quit my job to pursue me or to choose me, right? And oftentimes we have to make that choice because we have bills, we have this. But I think what it boils down to and what you were saying, Amy, is the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, setting yourself up. Like, maybe you're, you know, that 6 months, you're not shopping, you're not, you know, you didn't get that new car you wanted, you don't have that new purse, you're not able to, but you're stacking your money so that you can make sure your bills are paid, and you're making a sacrifice to set you up for the future.
Exactly.
And I think people don't look at it from that perspective because they think, like, they want to maintain this status that doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
It's like, I listened to this podcast and they were saying, you care more about what people who you don't even know think about you.
Yeah.
But, which means that there's something that needs work on internally, because you have all of these things to camouflage or to, like, reflect self-challenges and problems, whether it's self-hate, whatever it is, so that people can give you this status that you really, truly don't even really have, because you have to work to do it, or you're going into debt, your credit cards, taking out loans to have this perception of you.
Yeah.
Imagine living a life where you are wake up every day doing what you love doing. And even when it's hard, you can still revert back to the fact that you're doing what you love doing.
Exactly.
And I think that's what it boils down to, that people are not, they're not even willing to go that deep, right? That requires a lot of thought, but I think that is really paramount. And I think we shorten our lives by continuing to exist in spaces where we don't feel that we are taken care of, where we're not happy. I believe it shaves off years of our lives at the end, you know, compound it, right? It happens to us because we haven't chosen us, right? I love when I just say, okay, I'm not going in today. Like, I'm just going to chill. You know, I did a lot this weekend. I'm going to relax, and I actually can do that. Or I can go to my kids' events, or I can, you know, show up in a way that serves me.
Yeah.
And women are so notorious for serving others and not ourselves.
Yeah, and then you're a nurse. And that's
your whole
this is about identity. That's your whole identity.
Yes,
yeah.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. So you're the mom, you're the wife, you're the nurse. So you get in those roles, you really have dug yourself where you can't even recognize yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was one of my, you know, I tell this story on the podcast all the time. When I was working in leadership, that was one of my moments where I didn't realize I was going into a depression.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was, I wasn't showing up as my authentic self. So much so, she had become so buried under this facade and this code switching, which women of color would know that, like, you're switching. And I mean, so much so that I didn't recognize myself. Mm-hmm. And then I found that fostered dis-ease, right? Mm-hmm. Mental for me at that point, to where I had to seek therapy. And then I said, you know, this isn't it. Like, I like who I am. Yeah. So I'm conforming to what other people think I should be versus just being my authentic self, you know? And so just being, like Chris said, audacious and having the audacity to really venture out. And I think that's how you know you're alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, I just, sorry.
It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. And you know, people will think you're crazy.
Right.
You know,
I say that all the time.
There were so many people that were like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
How can you give this up? But then there were people like, oh, good for you. You're getting out. You know, like people would say to me, we're in golden handcuffs because we have, you know, I have a yacht and three houses. And I'm like, yeah, okay, good luck to you.
Yeah.
You know? But it was like,
I was worried about her health. I was so worried about her. I was in a stressful job, but her job was 100 times more stressful. And I was worried about her. And I was so happy when she gave it up, you know?
Yeah.
So I believe that there takes, you mentioned crazy, and I believe that there takes a certain amount of crazy, because if we look at the term literally, it's just stepping outside of the norm. We don't fit into the status quo or fit into the box. And I think entrepreneurs have to think outside of the box in order to succeed, because other than that, we'll stay, you know, working for that 30 years or however long it's going to be by the time we retire, and follow what they say is the trajectory versus stepping out and daring to venture into the unknown territory, because that's where we are. We're in the unknown. Right. But we have a lot of power in the sense that we can transform the unknown to what we want it to be. And I think a lot of people miss that.
And you can lean on the skills you already have.
Right.
That's true.
It seems like both of you have done that, right?
Yes,
like
you
didn't go, okay, now I'm going to be a scuba diver.
Right.
You know, you were like, okay, what do I know? Mm-hmm. What would I enjoy doing? Mm-hmm. And how do I use those skills? Yeah. That's what we did with the Passionistas Project. Like, we had become celebrity interviewers. Okay, how do we use those skills as interviewers to start this new passion?
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be this, like, it may seem crazy, but it doesn't have to be this, like, out there, I'm going to be an astronaut kind of choice.
Right.
And I like how you mentioned how you planned it. You know, and I always say, and I'm sure you probably felt this, that when you made that decision and you were staying those extra few months just to build that nest egg, you probably looked at work a lot different, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
I'll be out of here in three months. You're not getting my nerves. I'll tell you how to fly one last time. So I think people miss that. It's like, I mean, a lot of entrepreneurship, and it can be like that. And there's those people who just quit and the next day they hit it big, but it can also be planned out, you know, thinking about what you like to do, what you're good at, how you can merge those two, finding a community, saving money.
Yes.
So it doesn't have to be this huge, scary thing that people have in their minds.
Yeah.
But in reality, if you just break it down and make a plan, it's definitely something that can happen. And then finding your community and getting around other people who are doing the thing you want to do to teach you how to do it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, was part of the planning is the financial aspect, but part of it is, what is that support system?
Mm-hmm.
You're leaving your support system. So what is it? Your sister? Is it your neighbor? Is it your best friend? Is it a community of like-minded women? Is there a mentor? Is there somebody who has gone through what you went through so they can tell you what you don't know? You know, like, what questions am I not asking that I should be asking? What am I not thinking about? So I think the part of the planning is getting those support systems in place.
Yes.
So
beforehand.
Before you need them.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, because a lot of your support system, it's not just like, oh, you won't see those people at work every day, but you're probably going to lose touch with a lot of those people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you leave high school, you think you're going to be best friends forever. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, whatever happened to Sam?
Yeah.
You know, so like, it's important to kind of know that you're making a big transition.
Yeah.
You know, and give yourself the grace of experiencing that. It's not just like, it's not in your head. It's a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's
everything's going to change in a way. Mm-hmm. And for us, the majority of that change has always been good, even when there's stuff we have to work through.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. And I always tell, we always talk about, you know, even in your workplace, mostly everyone who is there working with you have the same working mindset. So a lot of times they are not even your tribe, because right. to talk to them about, I'm going to start this business, I'm going to end up quitting, they're like, what, girl, you're tenured. Like, yeah. are you finally vested? Like, what are you thinking about? And it's like, those are usually not your people. You have to go mm-hmm. out and find your people. And mm-hmm. sometimes they may not even, you guys are fortunate enough where you're sisters. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it's not even going to be your family. It's right. not going to be your closest friends. Yeah. It's not going to be anyone who you currently know, because the people who you currently know as are a result of who you become. Right. And so right. if you're thinking 5-10 years from now, you have to find those people that are going to help you become that 5-year version mm-hmm. of you, or that 10-year version of you, yeah. which most likely it's not going to be the people who you have in your immediate circle. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the people in your immediate circle are going to feel a feeling of you're changing. Right. And so they want to.
They
it doesn't
keep
mean they don't
same.
Love you.
No,
they really it. Love you, right? But I don't want you. I'm used to you the way you and I are. Yeah, right. And now you're changing. And like, where does that leave me?
Right.
So
you're
I'm
changing
going,
my
yeah,
life.
Yeah,
right?
exactly. Decision, right? So I am going to unsubconsciously try to affect your growth mm-hmm. and remind you that you're changing, or you think you're better mm-hmm. or whatever
right.
it is.
Right.
But it's not because they don't love you. That was a serious, like, mind shift that I had to encounter when I started on this journey, because I really wanted everyone to like be in that tribe with me. I'm like, you guys, like, there's this thing, like, everybody's doing it. I'm telling you, you can do it, this and that, and I can see you doing this and you doing that. And they're just like, don't nobody care. Like, leave me alone. And so, and Crystal and I have our own unique stories, but it was like, it was the moment I realized, and I honestly, I said to my husband, I said, I'm going to have to get on planes and it's going to be by myself. Like, yeah. I'm going to have to show up in these rooms. And every time I did, my tribe was there,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And so I think the value of community and sisterhood is so underrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people just need to see that one person or those few people who did it.
Yeah.
That they can actually touch, like, mm-hmm. not the people that's way up here, but just like average.
Yeah.
Like us who just
yeah.
dare to like do something different.
Right.
Not knowing a plan, because they think they have to have it all laid out. And it's like, no, I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're going to Google a lot of stuff. When
yeah.
you go out on your own, your Google is going to be your
yeah.
best friend.
yeah.
But we say yeah. that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, people are always like, oh, you're building a community and you're having these experts. You really need to get like Tony Robbins to record a video. And we're like, yeah, we're not. Like, have your own private island kind of
right.
people. Like,
right.
we want our experts are women that have done it or are in the middle of doing
yeah,
it. Mm-hmm. And you can relate to them.
Absolutely.
Right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
absolutely.
I don't want this aspiration of being a gazillionaire. If that happens for us, that would be wonderful. I'll
mm-hmm.
take the money.
Mm-hmm.
But I want people to be able to tune in and see, like, oh, she's a life coach. And she, you know, has this nice life in Connecticut with her husband and her dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and, oh, I could have that life.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a question. What would you say is your legacy that you want to leave as a result of Fashionistas? Like, so once you are like, okay, let me just tell you why I asked this question.
Yeah.
Because I always tell about the Les Brown. He was like on my journey 7 years ago. I would listen to him every single day. I stopped listening to the radio and I would just listen to him. And he always shares this story about the graveyard being the richest place on earth. And
mm-hmm.
then he says, he tells a story about, you know, when you're transitioning out of this life to the next,
mm-hmm.
not next life, but transitioning.
Yeah.
And he says the spirits of all those unrealized dreams are over you. And they're saying, why didn't you bring me to life?
Whoa.
And I, now I have to die with you.
Yeah.
Right. And so for me, when I think about like when I leave here, I think about it a lot. And it doesn't matter the age, like that story, that motivates me when I'm like in a position where I need to make a decision. What do I want my legacy to be? And I don't want to die with those spirits over me
right.
saying,
mm-hmm.
I didn't
yeah.
come to life because you were too afraid,
right?
And so I don't regret.
Yeah.
And so what is your, like, when you're about to go, what is it that you want people to be able to say?
I want to know that I did everything I possibly could to, whether it happens in my lifetime, I hope to God or not, I did everything I could to make all women equal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
You know, I want true equity, you know, not just some women, not just, oh, men think women are equal. No, I want all women to have true equity.
That's powerful.
And at least knowing that I did whatever I could to get
Exactly. And so, you know, what people don't understand is having that North Star, your decisions can revolve around that. So when you come up with, or there's a conflict and you're like, is this going to get me on track to what that North Star is?
Right.
You can say yes or no to it easily.
Yeah.
What's yours?
I mean, mine is the same. And I will also add, I want to live in a world where it's okay for women to make money and to be their own people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, a lot of what we're doing is activism. We have a lot of activists and social entrepreneurs in our circle. And I feel like we all come from this, have been coming from this place of like, yeah, but I can't charge them for that. Or, you know, I really wish that, like, you know, we could just do it for free, you know? And it's like, no, women have to thrive financially. And it's proven that when women thrive financially, they employ other women, they donate to women, they buy from women-owned businesses. So we're doing a disservice to other women by not being valued at the amount we should be valued at.
Mm-hmm.
So I think part of that equality is also financial equality and equity for all women.
Yeah, I love that.
I do. I was just going to go back to your community and just saying that how community is so important to me, finding my tribe, because I surely probably would have quit by now if I didn't have, just because, you know, I would have thought like, oh, okay, it's not working. So just pack it up, go back to my nursing job.
Yeah.
But that community is so important. So how does your community, how do you feel that have grown, or what opportunities do they, what success stories, I guess I'm asking, or what do you see has come to the women who are part of the Passionistas Project because of the Passionistas
Project?
You go.
I mean, we were just on a call with a handful of them yesterday and heard a few of them talking about the Passionistas Project. So it was nice to hear their words. I think some of them have grown in their business. Like we love to connect women.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a lot of people saying like, oh, I need a life coach. And we're like, do you want one that's spiritual? Do you want one that's going to teach you how to do a calendar? Do you want one that's going to rebrand you? And we are constantly passing along their names and contact info to women who are looking to hire other women. So we've been able to really help. And we have a subscription box of products from women-owned businesses.
That's nice.
So part of it is, you know, helping build this microeconomy of women buying from women and Passionistas buying from Passionistas. I think one of our proudest achievements is we have a friend who's she has a disability and she's a disability activist. And she has said to us on numerous occasions, like, the reason she shows up for us is because of all the organizations that she's been a part of, we actually do what we say we're going to do, and we are supportive, and we do help spread the word. If there's an event, we will tell, you know, we have a calendar on our sisterhood that's not only our events, but it's like a friend of ours has a documentary about venture capital funding for women, and so we've put every screening date of that movie all around the country. So a friend of ours went to see it in Palm Springs because she saw it on the calendar. So, you know, women have grown in terms of just raising their profile. But I think more than anything, it's just they're connecting. Like we launched the sisterhood a month ago, the official sisterhood. And it was like, you know, it's always that scary, like, okay, is anybody going to show up? And people started to show up. And the first thing we have them do is introduce themselves in one particular space. And people post who they are, and all of a sudden their comments, and we're like, hey, you're both in and outside Portland, you guys should meet. Oh yeah, let's have coffee next week. Mm-hmm. So they're connecting and they're just supporting each other. We have what we call the wall of women's wins, and you can post whatever it is. It could be like one woman was on the, a billboard in Times Square on New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. And one woman, like our big win was we shut down for 2 weeks at Christmas,
That's a big one.
And so it can be a big thing or a small mm-hmm. thing, but we encourage everybody to post their wins and then we celebrate it. Yeah. So it's just like, there's so many levels that people are benefiting, and we've been on social media, we've been doing this for years, but this is the first concentrated, mm-hmm. Example of it. And it's working, and I think everybody who comes is going to find, the first thing we do is we're like, we should introduce that new person to this person because they'll get along.
Yeah.
So, that there's so many ways to benefit, and then there'll be educational opportunities and entertainment. We started Passionistas TV that's going to be more entertaining, and then we started Passionistas Podcast Network. This is all within the community, and we're starting to post not only our podcast but other podcasts from women. So it's all like, you can, I just want to listen to a podcast right now. Well, these are some really great podcasts that women are hosting that you might not find otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many ways.
Yeah. I love this. Okay, well, this has been an amazing conversation. I have one last question before we close. Well, actually two. One last question, like as far as the content we're covering, and that is, what do you recommend women, any woman, because nurses is predominated by women, so we can generalize and say women. What do you say women should do who are seeking to grow with, community wise, and it doesn't have to be Passionistas also, but just period, just how can they, or what are some actionable steps that they could take, you would suggest right now, if they're listening to this and they're like, you know what, they're talking to me. Yeah. There will be those who know they're being called out right now.
Yeah.
So whether
it's our community or another community, I do think you just have to get online and start Googling people with similar interests, whether you find them on social media or you find them at live networking groups or the Passionistas, wherever you find that, I think you just have to find people that share your passion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing is who are those people and what are they doing? How are they exploring their passion?
Mm-hmm.
And again, what am I not asking? What do you know that I don't know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the biggest thing to me is you got to be able to ask the right questions.
Yes.
And I think building on that, we're not networking people we hear the word networking and we're like, oh God, I don't want to do that. We used to go and talk to each other so that it looked like we were talking to somebody. Again, so good to have a sister. But I think that you know, one thing we've learned from doing interviews is people like to talk about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So go to an event like that and don't worry about what you're going to say about yourself. Go and ask other people questions and your night will fly by because people are just going to want to tell you everything they know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great way to get through a networking event is to use that tool of just keep asking them about them.
And it really is the most important way to build a business.
It really is.
You can do ads and you can do all the things that everybody tells you to do, but the most important thing is getting out and talking to other people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also becomes, again, as much as we've always been shy and hate networking, now we just have this amazing group of women around us who anytime we do freak out, it's like, oh, we'll just call Julie or we'll talk to Missy. and so the networking and becomes the joy of it.
Well, I was going to ask the three questions, but I think we just got two of them out of the way. So we'll end with, what is one homework assignment that you would have our listeners? They're generally aspiring or current nurse entrepreneurs, but again, women for the most part, you would have them do to connect right now. And I think you've kind of given that, but that's...
I would like to say one thing that we were taught recently. We spent the last full year, other than the couple months where I was sick, we spent the last full year rebranding. And really, that's how we arrived at this sisterhood, like taking everything that we've done and figuring out what's the right path? Mm-hmm. What's the next step?
Mm-hmm.
And the coach that we worked with had us sit down and close our eyes and think about, you said it earlier, who do you want to be in 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
And not what do you want to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
Not I'm a nurse or
yes,
I own
exactly.
a business or
right.
who do you want to be? What do you want to feel like in 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
And our answers were things like, I want to be relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
I want to feel at peace.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be anxious. I want to feel fulfilled.
Yeah.
You know, think about that. Who do you want to be in 5 years? And
mm-hmm.
write all that down and really, really give it some good thought about who you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can take a step back and figure out the steps that you need to take to
mm-hmm.
get there.
That's good. And I don't think people do that
no.
at all.
No, I yeah. think it's
we just get up and work.
Mm-hmm.
We just get
yeah.
up and work. Kids, just every day,
yeah.
same thing.
Yeah.
To
totally.
Have even the time to dedicate to even that exercise, most women, especially nurses, because, you know, we
mm-hmm.
work 12-hour shifts.
Okay.
So by the time you're done with your 3 days, you need 2 days to recover,
yeah.
one day to do whatever you need to do around the house, and then you're back at work. People don't understand that
yeah.
it's really,
oh, yeah.
it's difficult. So I don't think people even spend the time to think that through.
Right.
Because
yeah.
and what they think is like, okay, that sounds free. Like, it's like, okay, if like you said, you want to feel, you know, the freedom, you want to be happy, you want all that. And they're just like, well, how's that going to pay my bills?
Right.
What they don't understand is if you pursue those, the money will pursue you
totally.
Versus you pursuing it,
yeah.
which doesn't make sense because that's not what we were taught.
Right.
Yes. Totally. Totally. Totally.
So,
can I just say one
yes,
other thing?
Please.
I would recommend find three women, either women that you know or women that you've seen online or own a local business in your neighborhood, whatever it is, and ask them to go out to coffee with you
mm-hmm.
and just chat with them about what they do and how they got there.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
That's powerful. And that's another thing people don't do.
Right.
They don't reach out. They're too afraid. They've already counted themselves out.
Yeah.
So they won't even take the chance
mm-hmm.
on sending a message
yeah.
or a
and,
DM.
And they're too afraid. And like you said, people, especially entrepreneurs, because we built this thing. We like talking about ourselves. We like showing you how we did it or giving
mm-hmm.
advice. You know, of course, there comes a time where like, okay, that's too many questions. But
yeah.
for the most part, if you're just asking those basic, like, how did you do it? How can I get started
mm-hmm.
questions, most people are okay with telling you that
yeah.
to help you get to your next level.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Be afraid.
And you mentioned the coach, and I have to say,
yes.
we seem to, like, almost
always
every episode, we remind them that they need a coach. And
yeah.
not all the time is it going to be free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
You need to make sure you are willing to invest in yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And mentorship is so valuable. It is the I call it the freeway, the shortcut, whatever you want, but
mm-hmm.
it's where someone can take all of their experience. Says package it up nicely for you, and then you can follow that blueprint.
Yeah.
yeah.
So that's another piece that people don't understand. So I was
yeah.
glad to hear you guys
mm-hmm.
say,
yeah.
you know,
oh, yeah.
your coach, because I think
yeah.
people just think you just get it. No,
right.
you have to make the investment
yeah.
and then, you know.
Yeah, and continue learning all the time.
All
yeah.
the time.
All
yeah.
the time.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a great conversation, ladies.
Thank you guys so much.
I do want to ask you guys, I know we have the Passionista project, but we want details.
Okay.
So if you can provide us with like the way they can reach you, our listeners
mm-hmm.
can
yes.
reach you. I don't know if it's cohorts or how you do your Passionista project.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, just let us know all the deets.
Excellent. So the best way is to go to thepassionistasproject.com/sisterhood.
Yeah.
Okay, and then once you're there, you can go to the online community and you can find us on socials and you can get in touch with us.
We're
always around. We always answer our emails and DMs. And so,
and we
yeah.
have a free membership level and a premium membership level.
Okay.
Even in the free membership level, you're able to connect. You can watch short course classes that we have. You can find out about events. So you get value out of the free level, even if you aren't ready to upgrade yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We
also have a scholarship. mentorship program. So because like we say, we don't want to exclude anybody.
Yeah.
So if there's somebody that really wants to be a member and they just can't afford it, just reach out to us. Everyone who subscribes for a full year, that automatically buys a membership for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So, so
That's
we don't
awesome.
Want anyone to feel like I really want to do it, but I can't afford it. Just, just reach out to us.
Okay. We'll and do you guys have socials? So any socials?
Yeah.
We're the Passionistas Project on everything.
Yep.
Instagram, Facebook,
LinkedIn.
Passionistas with an S.
With an S.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Passionistas.
Yes. Passionista.
People get confused how you spell it.
Okay.
And it'll be linked in the show notes.
Yes.
It'll be
linked
in
the show notes. Excellent. Well, ladies,
thank you so much for joining.
You guys, as always, if you have friends or family or anyone who's in the healthcare space or who is an entrepreneur or aspiring entrepreneur, and they're interested in really getting serious about this, as always, we have great guests who come on and tell you guys all the tea. So make sure you share. Don't be stingy.
Right.
Crystal, are we done?
We're done.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, until next time. Bye-bye.